barreling through the lane, attacking the basket, hoping to get two easy points here today on Prep Sports Now as we do a quick transition from football to basketball. Basketball, high school basketball, of course, underway here in the Valley. We're going to do a quick overview of at least the upper level. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. And Ray, I think usually you start the conversations with at the top. That's just human nature, how we do it. And I think in football this year, it was mainly we looked at three teams in Gorman, Liberty, and Arborview. And it feels actually this year very similar in basketball because I feel like we're looking at the top and you mostly probably going to talk about Gorman, Clark, and I would even throw Coronado in there as the third team. Tell me I'm wrong. Am I wrong with this assumption?
Yeah, this is going to be a real fun year. I think if you just take a look at some of the recent history, Gorman, while they're the 5 or 6-time defending state champs, they've been threatened, right? You had the year with the Allen twins in Centennial where they were close to beating Gorman multiple times and then just imploded in the state game. And then you had, you know, the years where Centennial had Troy Brown and, you know, they led late and were a shot away. And then you had last year where Clark – was up by double digits with a few minutes to go in the state game before Gorman rallied and won. Well, you know, a lot of that was Chuck O'Banion Jr. He put in 39 points. He's now at USC. And Clark returns everybody, including its coach from 2 years ago, Chad Beaton. And everybody outside of Gorman thinks Clark is the team to beat. So we have live action. It's going to be an absolutely fun year. Quietly, though, over in Henderson, Coronado has kind of rebuilt itself. Of course, it's been undefeated the last two seasons in Southeast play, and they've got a freshman who, for all intents and purposes, may be one of the best players in that freshman class, not just here in town, but nationally, Hardy, and he is scoring at a high rate. He's a guy who has similar qualities to Troy, where we saw Troy kind of carry Centennial through some games. I think Coronado could put some pieces around him, and it looks like they have some pieces. Coronado may have a chance towards the end of the year.
Yeah, it looks like Jalen Hardy, not only maybe one of the best freshmen, as you said, in the country, but I think just one of the best players in town as a freshman. Pretty crazy. As we mentioned on the podcast before, we coached that Halloween Hoops game. Shout out to everyone who helped us with that.
Yeah, championship, baby.
But, Your team did win. Two of my starters didn't show, so that hurt, and we couldn't facilitate a trade. But anyway, besides all that, not what I'm trying to get at. We thought Hardy was probably the MVP of the game, but I still think it's an all-star game. I mean, people are only going 50%, really, getting a lot of open looks. So like, yeah, maybe the kid was just great one day. We knew he was going to be good, but is this going to be the same way in the season? And they started with a tough schedule. They played two out-of-state opponents and Centennial, 2 1-point wins to start. They are undefeated, but every single game I think Hardy has like 20-some points. So I think the kid just really is this good.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about the Southeast League and the Sunrise region for that, we got to take a good look at Foothill. They've got two players in Marvin Coleman and Jace Rockamore who are guys who've played a lot of varsity basketball, right? We know Kevin Swords is a great coach. And we knew that they had a double-digit halftime lead last year in the regional championship game against Coronado before Coronado came back, stormed back, and won. And, of course, all Coronado's great players from last year have graduated. And the thing I think that is going to come down to really determine those games are Foothill is extremely small. They don't have the guys that could bang and rebound. Coronado's got some legit bigs, the twins, another kid who may have moved in. And is Foothill going to be able to knock down its shots, really kind of take the interior part out? I mean, is Foothill going to be able to knock down some of the shots, right? Are your two seniors going to be able to carry you through? I mean, Marvin Coleman is a mid-major D1 player without a doubt. I mean, I just love that kid's game. He could score. He could facilitate. He plays great defense. He's very smart with the ball. Who's Hardy going to guard? You know, you've got two guys on the outside that could really get it done. And I think those Foothill-Coronado games are going to be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, Foothill has opened just as impressively. I think you could even make the argument more impressively than Coronado. They've blown out pretty much everyone. They're also 3-0. They've only played in-state opponents, but one win especially stands out. They beat Desert Oasis by 11 with Coleman and Rockmore, that duo you talked about, poured in, it looks like, about 45 points. That was a big win because I don't want to get to the sunset too soon, but you've got to be impressed with what Desert Oasis has done so far. Sticking in the Sunrise before we get over there and talk about Desert Oasis and some of those teams. Looking at who's beat who so far, another team that's got to kind of stand out is your Las Vegas High Wildcats, who you think are going to win the state championship and everything every year. This year they did lose by a point to Durango, but it was a close game. But they come back and just blow out Centennial on Friday, who nearly beat Coronado, who we're waxing poetic about. So I think Vegas might be a team to watch.
Yeah, Donovan Joyner, I think in that Centennial game, had about 28 points. He's a kid who we also got to meet in that All-Star game who has played a lot of varsity basketball. He's going to get a lot of touches over at Vegas High. And he's a kid who might not be the best shooter in town, might not be the biggest size in town, but I tell you what, when you line up competitors, he's a kid who's going to stand out, and he's going to make some noise over there. And when you look at the Northeast, right, El Dorado's real young. Canyon Springs with Lagarde is going to be good again, but, you know, Valley's not that good. Rancho isn't going to be that good. I think Vegas is going to have a chance to finish in the top two, which is vitally important because you don't want to be at Foothill or at Coronado to open the playoffs.
Right. Canyon Springs in that Northeast kind of has the same thing going on that Coronado has in the Southeast, where they're just clearly the team to beat. They've, you know, over the years proven it. Seems like they are almost always coming out on top over there. They've beaten some good teams too. Much closer game, but they eked one out against Desert Oasis to start the year. Handily beat Sierra Vista last week, also undefeated at 5-0. So good start for those guys as well.
Yeah, and you know, you all credit to Freddie. He does a good job. Regardless of who he gets in there, they're going to play one way, right? They're going to pressure you tremendously on defense, often full court press. They're going to get out and run, just like he did at UNLV when he played for Tark, right? And no matter who they line up against, I don't care if it's Gorman or Clark or Coronado or Foothill, he's going to put five kids on the court who think they're going to win the game. And they're going to pressure you. It's like Nolan Richardson, right? 40 minutes of hell, is that what they used to say? And you just don't know when you play Canyon what's going to happen. And I think that's what makes them an interesting team in this equation as we kind of navigate ourselves to February in the playoffs.
For sure. Before we move over to the sunset, I would say probably got to mention, I think you covered the Northeast pretty good, but the bottom of the Southeast, I think there's still some competitive teams. Green Valley, you always see, can kind of beat anyone on a good night. Basic has some talent. Liberty has one of the best players in the state in Julian Strother. And Silverado, I know a program kind of rejuvenated, new coach. Darfur coming over from Clark last year.
And I think a player at Liberty, Cameron Burst, who had been injured, we didn't see much of him last year. He's a kid who, you know, as a freshman and sophomore, was being mentioned as a Division I player. And you combine Strother and Burst together, I think you got something with Liberty. They're going to be a tough out, probably, I think, a solid three in that league. And then, you know, I know Basic feels good about themselves. I watched them beat somebody at home, and then the next night they went and lost at Mojave. So they beat somebody good at home, and the next night lost by one at Mojave. So it's all going to be consistency. Obviously, Basic, because people in Old Henderson still care about the school and go to a lot of those games, they're more of events, is going to be a tough out at home, especially when Foothill goes over there.
Yeah, they beat Desert Pines. Final question on the Sunrise. Put you on the spot here. Here's my pressing question. You mentioned Coronado's gone undefeated in back-to-back years in the league. Do they go undefeated this year?
I think they lose at Foothill. I think they go 9-1.
All right. I was hoping you'd say yes because I was going to say no. I think it's just a little bit too tough. I still think they win it, but I think there's just a lot of landmines that they could trip up. I think they probably lose one.
Especially when you're relying on a freshman. I don't care how good you are. When we pick up after the holiday and you're getting 2 and 3 games in a week, there's a lot of chances for not having your best effort, especially, you know, when you're faced with another team that's got two good guards like Foothill.
We're in agreement. I think Coronado is the team to beat over there, and they would be who I'm picking to get to state, but I think they probably trip up somewhere. We think talked about how the Southeast was kind of loaded, and it might be a battle for that last playoff spot. How about the Southwest, which I think is one of the better leagues in basketball we've seen in the last several years. It looks like there's five teams that are going to be battling for four playoff spots. Two of those teams, however, have already started 0-2 in the league, in Durango and Sierra Vista. Desert Oasis starting 2-0, Clark starting 2-0, and of course Gorman, as you said, the six-time defending state champions.
Yeah, I mean, I guess first off, I hate how we have to squeeze so much basketball in before the holiday. You know, you're playing your first game 1 week and trying to get your rotation set, and the next week you've got a crucial league game that could determine the playoff standings. I know Gorman and Clark pushed back their initial meeting, which was supposed to be this week toward the end of the season. And it's just, you know, you look at a team like Sierra Vista who didn't have Maka early, right? Maka Ellis, they're a great player going to Columbia. And next thing you know, they're in an 0-2 hole. Durango also in an 0-2 hole with an awful loss to Clark. Clark really put it on them. And when the five of the best six teams in the Sunrise region are in one league, one of them is not going to make the playoffs. And now Durango and Sierra Vista have got an uphill climb, basically, to get out of there. And I honestly think that if you make the playoffs, I think we may see an all-sunset semifinal from the north, from the Southwest.
Wow, so that would include the four beating the one. I will say, though, it looks like Maka has played in two losses.
Oh, did he?
They lost to Gorman, which is forgivable, and then Desert Oasis, who, as we said, I mean, I think that one of the teams that's going to – well, not think. I know one of the teams that's going to be left out is going to be Desert Oasis, Durango, and Sierra Vista. And right now, how huge is it for Desert Oasis, who was the team that was left out last year? They beat both those other two teams. I mean, they have a gigantic lead even before the holidays, like you said. But back to your point about you think it might be all Southwest, seems a little crazy maybe to me because someone's going to take the one in the Northwest, and we've already seen – I mean, Faith has started 7-0. Arborview hasn't had the toughest schedule, but they're 8-1. Centennial nearly beat Coronado, as we said, and beat someone else. I mean, it's not like these teams are walkover. Cimarron's off to a good start and has a great coach, and Branham 2-0 in the league. If I had to say right now, I don't think the Southwest goes 4-0.
I'm real high on Faith. I think that, you know, last year you saw them not only make the playoffs but win a playoff game. They return, you know, some really good pieces who've been there a while. Losing Elijah Cody, who got hurt during the football season, he's a guy that has played since his freshman year. How do they overcome that? And now you get into a playoff game, say, with a Jacob Hesse coming into your gym, right? Or a Maka Ellis coming into your gym. You know, a college kid on his last stand in high school. You know, I really have a high opinion of Jalen Fox over there, but and Faith has got a great home court environment, but I just don't see them stopping, you know, a kid with his high school career on the line.
So do we see, I mean, the way you're talking, it sounds like Faith is kind of the runaway favorite over there right now.
It appears to be, but this week we've got a pretty good game. Arborview, who's off to, what do you say, a 7-1 start. Donnie Yap has been great for them, a sophomore. The Burks kid, whose brother we covered, is now a senior. They got some guys that could go. Big game this week to kind of determine the 1-2. I don't know what to make of Centennial and Palo. The Palo kids play hard for Asnarez. Centennial, we kind of wrote off, and then they basically beat Coronado, except for the end of the game that the freshman stud makes a play. And I don't know if that was Coronado or if that was Centennial better than we thought. But, you know, you got to look at those two. And then Legacy, I love this Jalen Lee kid. He's 6'8", real slender, great footwork. He's a kid that I saw in the summer with Vegas Elite. He's been really good all season. And you're right, Cimarron's got Branham, who knows X's and O's as good as everybody else. The Trimble kid is 20-point game kid. So the Northwest is going to be a fun little back-and-forth black-and-blue division. I just don't see them beating any of the teams across the road.
You're still so much in football mode, the black-and-blue division, man. And then you said Asnarez for Palo. I think you meant Sanchez.
My fault, yeah.
All good. I just wanted to give him a shout-out. A lot of Jalen's this year as we go through the
it's a popular
teams.
Name.
Yeah, it's a popular name for this age group. We did get a little bit of a preview in that potential 4-1 game. Faith blew out Sierra Vista to open the season, but as you alluded to earlier, Maka Ellis did not play at the beginning of the year, so not much you can take out of that one. I'm intrigued to watch the Northwest. I know the Southwest is kind of the glamour league, as we talked about with Clark, trying to break through and do what they just barely failed doing last year and beating Bishop Gorman. But I feel like the Northwest, a lot of these teams are evenly matched. We've spent so much time kind of looking through those teams. I think we got to talk a little bit about the top two. I think anyone you talk to is going to have Clark 1 and Gorman 2. What is it that stands out about those power programs this year?
You know, I think it's just the – first of all, this city loves it, its rivalries, right? And you get a lot of good kids on the floor to play against each other. So we're all looking forward to those nights. But I think it's just the way last season ended, right? I think that – listen, no secret that not many people like Gorman unless you're there. And the fact that, you know, Clark had them – you know, dead to rights, essentially, before they ran out of timeouts and Gorman had this miraculous comeback with McDonald's All-American making a bunch of points, it really set the table for this year in, like, some I-have-to-be-there type of games. And both teams have just a ton of great players, college kids. You know, Gorman's got Jamal Bay, who went off for 30-plus against Vista, just caught fire, a kid who signed to go to the University of Washington. But after that, they don't have many upperclassmen. Rather, the strength of that Gorman roster is the freshman and the sophomore, right? Isaiah Cottrell inside, he's a sophomore, right? You got the Zion Collins kid, the point guard, he's a sophomore. I mean, he's a freshman, CK, right? Noah Tates, he's a sophomore. So you've got young and talented players ready to kind of have their run. But they're matched up now with Clark, Trey Woodbury going to UNLV, the junior Jalen Hill, another Jalen, who somebody said may be the best player in town, Ian Alexander, super athletic. You've got all these college kids, James Bridges for Clark. So Clark's got, like, and then they get the Foster kid that moved in that's going to Gonzaga, right? So now Clark 1 through 5, man, is as good as we've seen in the history of the show, the decade history of the show, right?
I think even the 1 through 6. I mean, they have six guys with you must have missed some. Alexander and
Alexander, Bridges, Hill, Foster.
Antoine Jackson,
who looked great. Remember at our media day? I'm like, how'd you lose that weight? He's like, I ate apples. I'm like, give me 20 apples.
Oh, I didn't know what he looked like last year, but I just know talking to Jesse Granger, who covered them a lot last year. I mean, he said Jackson on many nights was their best player.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And listen, he may be the key to this whole thing, because if you look how Clark can contain Gorman, I think, like, Tates is going to have a hard time on the outside, right? I know that Woodbury and Bay are going to match each other up. They're good friends. They've played against each other forever. But how is Clark going to handle Cottrell on the inside, right? 6'10", could score facing the basket, back against the basket. If Antoine Jackson is good, now all of a sudden you've got yourself a game that comes down to the end.
Right. Well, I know there's going to be a lot of excitement for those games. They'll probably play three times this year, right?
Three times in 2.5 weeks, and the last game we assume would be for the Sunset Championship. Winner goes to Reno for state.
Right, and those dates for sure they're going to be playing February 9th and January 30th, and like Brewer said, probably the next week for the right to go to state. So that will be something interesting to watch, certainly.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Briefly
before our picks, lower league. Desert Pines had to replace everybody from its state championship team. And as expected, you know, while they were waiting for some football kids to get their practices in, it hasn't been pretty early for the Jags. Cheyenne, who's got that Keyshawn Hall kid who's really good, a sophomore, one of the best sophomores in town, beat DP twice last year in the regular season, lost twice in the playoffs. They're the presumed favorites to win the 3A. Sunrise Mountain has got the Stephen Amadea kid, who is built like a brick house. But he's a one-man show. And in the 3A Sunrise, my Cowboys look like they'll be at the top of the pack. And I think Boulder City's got a good team this year and should make some noise, probably be the one or the two.
All right, well, there you have it. Sounds good for that. So are we
gonna race through the picks here, kid?
I don't have them, right? So did you send them to me?
Yeah, check your Gmail. My bad, bro.
Okay, I got them.
Are they in your email?
Yeah, they are. Okay. I just somehow missed them. Gorman and Spring Valley.
Yeah, we just lead off with that game. The sad thing for the Southwest is that, you know, Spring Valley is going to be outclassed in this game, and it's a lot of nights where you're going to run into some Division I kids, right?
You would think so, certainly.
Yeah, so this is probably a precursor of some things to come for the Grizz. And that's unfortunate, but they do lose pretty big.
Yeah, Spring Valley's had some good years. It looks like this year probably won't be one of them, though. Just a tough division. I've got Bishop Forman, Desert Oasis at Clark.
Can you see my typo there?
No.
I say Spring Valley more than.
Oh, God, I was looking at the Gorman. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so I say, you know, we've talked a lot about the Jacob Hesse kid, but they got some other pieces that have been impressive. I still don't think they go on a Clark and do much, but I got the game at a 15-point spread.
Yeah, that's respectable. I think Clark will win this one pretty easily as well. We listed off all the kids they have. The only mm-hmm. question is who's going to star on a given night. I've got Clark. Del Sol and Chaparral. I'm surprised you haven't talked much about your Cowboys when you gave that lower league run through.
You know, I really appreciate how Steve Bentz has organized the program. Don't know much about the personnel. I do know they beat Del Sol.
Yeah, I think that they should get past Del Sol in this game. So we're 3-for-3 in agreement so far. I've got Chaparral. Canyon Springs at Durango.
You know, I think Durango, we've seen some of its youth to start the season. But I think they're going to start figuring out, and I think they start figuring out this week. They got Canyon coming in, and I like the Blazers, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I can't fault you there.
Anthony Hunter, baby.
Yeah, Anthony Hunter is certainly a star as a sophomore, but, I mean, Canyon has some senior stars. I'm high on Canyon. They're unbeaten so far. I think they got it rolling right now. I'm going with the Pioneers. So we finally have a little bit of a disagreement. Foothill at Desert Pines.
Like I said, DP still getting its footing. Foothill looks like they were gearing to go. They may have even peaked a little too early. Give me Coleman, Rockamore, and Soros for the dub.
Yeah, speaking of teams on a roll, I think Foothill is right along with Canyon Springs in that category. So I'm going to go with Foothill as well. Las Vegas, the another team that's high on our radar right now, they're going to play Cheyenne.
Yeah, I like I said, the Donovan Joyner kid's a thrill. Probably a slight dog in this game, but I think they go over to Chi-Town and pull it out.
A slight dog in this game, really?
Yeah, that Keyshawn Hall kid is really good, CK.
All right, let's see how's Cheyenne started. Yeah, 5-2, they're good. I'm going to go with you, though. I'm going to go with Vegas. I spoke highly of them. I'm not going to jump off that easily, so I'm going to go with the Cats as well. Legacy at Cimarron Memorial.
Again, I kind of gave all my names out earlier in the year, early in the podcast. Give me the Jalen Lee kid. I'll take the best player on the court, even though Cimarron probably a slight favorite.
Yeah, I agree with you here. I was surprised to see your pick on this one. I'm going with Cimarron.
You're probably going to beat me in all the picks this year.
We tied in football, didn't we?
I know, right?
I can't claim that as a win.
Mojave single-handedly gave you the win, right?
Yeah, well, they gave me some losses along the way, too. Cimarron looks deep and balanced. Brian Washington, George Tribble, Marcus Phillips, Brian Lang, a lot of guys scoring points.
I like the Tribble kid.
With Cimarron. Arbor at Faith, we mentioned this game earlier. Looks like a kind of a big game for the Northwest early in the year.
Yeah, I can't underestimate that student court population for Faith at home. I think they go undefeated at home.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their margin of victory so far, and it certainly looks like they've lived up to the hype, and I think that they get one past Arborview here, maybe a little closer than we would have expected a couple weeks ago. Virgin Valley at Boulder City. I don't know. No idea.
I'm high on Boulder City. I think that they've got a nice little team, perfect small-town 3A team. They shoot the ball well. I'd take the Eagles. Plus, it's tough to go from Mesquite to BC, right?
Yeah, I guess I'll just trust you on this one. I'm going to go with like the Polar City as well. El Dorado at Basic.
Yeah, again, Basic, a totally different team at home. Give me the Pack.
All right, yeah, putting a lot of trust in your scouting reports here, but you kind of told me El Dorado young, needs some time to gel. So with that in mind, I think you got to go Basic. And then the last game, Friday night, good rivalry, Palo Verde at Centennial.
I'll take the Dogs.
Yeah, I think you look at what they've done early in the year, and I think Palo's going to be competitive, but they already have some pretty bad losses. Centennial, most games, even though they're 3-4, they've at least kept it close. They have some results that catch your eye. So I think right now Centennial's just done a little bit more for me. I'm going to have to go with the Bulldogs as well. So we disagree on two. Just wanted to get a quick basketball podcast out there before the holidays. We'll be back afterwards to talk about everything that happened and go forward in the year. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening. Prep Sports Now.